Hi, this is Dina Marie from Our Lady of Peace Retreat House, checking in with a Franciscan moment. Among the many saints we honor during the month of July, there are two Franciscan saints who are also doctors of the church, St. Bonaventure and St. Lawrence. With me today to share some Franciscan moments and to help us better understand and appreciate the saints is Franciscan friar, Father Dan Petit. Father Dan, thanks for joining me once again and sharing about the lives of the saints.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here to do it, especially with our two saints today.
I love looking at each month to see, you know, who's coming up, what feast days do we have in the church? Because I'm a Catholic, a convert into the Catholic Church as an adult, that became just a fascination and a beauty to see the lives of the saints for each day of the week, every day of the year, to see who's going to guide me today. And then to realize we've got all of these orders, and in many of our orders, we have canonized saints. So we're going to talk about two of them that come up in July. St. Bonaventure, and let's begin with St. Bonaventure. The little bit that I've read about St. Bonaventure, there's an enormous tie to Our Lady, but obviously he's a Franciscan saint and a doctor of the church. So give us some historical context, when he lived, a little bit of maybe his background, how he came to be a Franciscan.
Well, St. Bonaventure was born in Bognoregio, which his original house was destroyed by an earthquake in the 18th century. But it's a small little town up on a mountain hill. In 1217, he was born. And his path to the Franciscans came by way of St. Francis, who died in 1226. At some point after that, Bonaventure as a little boy, so he's born 1217. As a little boy, 8, maybe 9 years old, he describes it as being taken from the jaws of death at that young age through the intercession of St. Francis, who had since died. But his mother turned to St. Francis to pray for her son, who was dying. And he says that he was drawn from the jaws of death by the intercession of St. Francis of Assisi. And that began his relationship, not immediately, but it did begin his relationship with the friars because of St. Francis's intervention. And later, when he went up to Paris, his father was actually a medical doctor, so he was well-educated. And they sent their son from Italy to the University of Paris, which was a very prestigious. That's kind of like for us, maybe going to like Stanford or Harvard in our society, you know. And he was sent there to study. And the first thing you studied was philosophy. So he excelled at that. He got his Bachelor of Arts, what they call. And then you have to choose one of the faculties of medicine, law, or theology. And he chose theology, but in the process of doing that, he also chose to join the Franciscans at that point. And that's how he eventually made it into the order, was he met them up there in Paris. They had a chair of theology, and he was so impressed with the Franciscan master of theology at Paris, that Alexander of Hales, that he decided to join the community.
Wow. You think about St. Francis just having this simple spirit, the spirit of poverty, and yet right. Here's this Bonaventure with all of this intellect and study and knowledge. How did he kind of combine that with the Franciscan spirit?
Well, you know, it's interesting that it was well known that Francis gave permission to study theology under one condition, and that's when Anthony of Padua asked Francis, could I teach the brothers theology? And Francis wrote back to Anthony and said, it pleases me that you teach the brothers theology, provided that, as it says in the rule, you do not extinguish the spirit of holy prayer and devotion with study of this kind. So the thing is, with the Franciscan school of theology and intellect and knowledge and book learning, you can't have knowledge without love and still be Franciscan. And that's what, because that was the criterion. And Bonaventure, when you read him, there's a very strong sense of the devotional, the love he has for Jesus. As he's doing this very high scholastic theology, you can also tell his love is like meditating on these truths, you know, as he's also articulating them with a very sharp intellect, you know. And I did write down a text here. I'd like to have you hear this text. This is from a book that Bonaventure wrote for the young friars studying theology to capture this need for study and also the love of Christ, and not just have knowledge or say have pride before truth. No, humility before truth is so important. He writes this in the prologue to this book he wrote for the friars. It's called The Soul's Journey into God. And he says, desires can be inflamed in us in two ways, namely through the cry of prayer, which makes us cry aloud with groaning of the heart, and through the brightness of contemplation, by which the mind turns itself most directly and intently toward the rays of light coming from God. Therefore, I first of all invite the reader to groans of prayer through Christ crucified, through whose blood we are cleansed of the filth of our vices, in order that you might not assume that reading is sufficient without anointing, speculation without devotion, investigation without admiration, examination without exaltation, industry without piety, knowledge without love, understanding without humility, study without divine grace, and merely mirroring things without divinely inspired wisdom. And it's like, there it is. It's humility before truth. It's not just knowledge, but it's also love. It's not just the mind analytically, but also the heart that have to go to Christ, you know, and that's so Franciscan.
Right. In each thing that we do, it sounds like from St. Bonaventure, we tie in the virtues, that we should be building that virtuous life, those gifts of the Holy Spirit that outcomes them, those holy fruits. And so what a great way for Bonaventure to really process this and to apply this to the Franciscan way. We're talking with Father Dan, a Franciscan friar, on these Franciscan moments, learning a little bit about St. Bonaventure. How has St. Bonaventure been part of your priesthood? Just how has he maybe found his way into your life as a priest?
Well, I got my MA in Franciscan Studies from St. Bonaventure University in 1990, I finished. I started in 1987 and finished in 1990. And of course, that's where I met Bonaventure. And then I went on from there to get my license in the theology of Bonaventure. And later, I wrote my PhD on him as well. So I got into Bonaventure pretty deeply, and he became the formative influence of my entire priesthood and even the way I think about the truths of the faith. I mean, because to study Bonaventure, you don't just get a bunch of ideas. What you're endowed with is a vision that touches all of life. You get a vision, and it's quite remarkable how formative he is, you know, in my own vision, my preaching, my teaching, the way I live, the way I pray. He's into everything.
Yeah. Father Dan, for our listeners, just we don't know much about St. Bonaventure, what would be a way to start to get to know? I know there's lots of writings, but where would we start to just get a sense of Bonaventure for our own lives?
Well, I think a good place to start would be maybe with some of his sermons. There are collections of his sermons, and those would be a good place to start because they're not high academic scholastic theology, you know, like, because he's capable of that. But in the sermons, he's applying it to the Word of God. And so you have collections, for example, of his sermons on Christ. That would be a great place to start. There's another collection. These are all books in print of collection of his sermons on St. Francis of Assisi. And it's just maybe 100, 120 pages. He has a set of meditations on the birth of Christ. I forget the name of it. I should have looked that up, but it's his meditation on the Christmas mysteries. And you can't believe that this guy is this high scholastic like Thomas Aquinas, writing these affectionate, loving meditations on just expressing his love for Jesus and the baby in the crib. And you're going like, these are two different men, from the academic high tower of scholasticism to the stable in Bethlehem. And he's so full of love, you know, it's like, that's what he's capable of doing though, you know?
Yeah. I think you just hit that word. He's full of love. I mean, that when I think of St. Francis, I think about love, and I think, you know, obviously this is what Jesus is all about, and God is love. We're talking with Father Dan. Father Dan, I'm coming up on a break, and I want to get more into St. Bonaventure, St. Lawrence as well. So stay with me, and we'll get into more Franciscan saints after the end of this break. Will you hold on?
Sure. Thank you.
This is Dina Marie, and I'm back with Franciscan friar, Father Dan Petit. Today, we're talking a little bit about some of our Franciscan saints that come up in the month of July. So again, I encourage you to look at your calendar and look at that Catholic calendar and find out who is the saint of the day. St. Bonaventure, we celebrate this month, as well as St. Lawrence. And so, Father Dan, as we come back, St. Lawrence, there's a lot of St. Lawrences, but let's look at St. Lawrence of Brindisi, both a priest and again, doctor of the Church.
Yes. Good to be with you again. And this particular saint, Saint Lawrence, is from the 16th century. He was born in July of 1559, which is right in the wake of the Reformations begun by Luther in 1517. So he's one of the great saints of the what we would call Catholic Reformation, the attempt to restore Catholic faith after it had been devastated by the Protestant reformers. So he figures in quite prominently in his ability to preach and teach, and he became obviously a doctor of the church as a result.
Right. Give us a sense of how he came into being a Franciscan. What do we know a little bit? I mean, obviously there's such the sense of Catholicism in his day is there's a lot of pushback. There's a lot of persecution. So how did he come to really becoming Franciscan and then really being a great preacher and obviously a priest in the church?
Well, he lost his parents, interestingly enough, at a young age. And so he ended up, after their deaths, at the age of 16, he ended up going to Venice to go to the College of St. Mark there in Venice, which is the school attached to the Basilica of St. Mark. That's the Cathedral Basilica there at Venice. And while he was there, he got to know the Capuchin Franciscans and ended up joining them at the age of 16. With them, he started to study philosophy and theology right there in Venice, and was ordained at the young age of 23 years old as a Capuchin Franciscan and a priest under the name of Lawrence, because he excelled in languages. He spoke Latin, Hebrew, Greek, German, Bohemian, Spanish, and French. He was so good with languages.
Oh my goodness. Well, give us a sense of just his life. So he studied the priesthood, and did he travel a bit? Obviously, he must have written to be a doctor of the church. Are a lot of his teachings in written form?
Yeah, well, you know, because of the Protestant Reformation, which put so much of an emphasis on the Bible, he was highly esteemed as someone that commented on scripture, because he knew Greek and Hebrew fluently. In fact, Pope Clement VIII first commissioned him to preach among the Jews in Italy, and they thought from his knowledge of Hebrew, it was so good that they thought he was a Jewish convert to Catholicism. He was so excellent and excelled at it. But see, this is what he did. He could read the original Greek New Testament. He could read the original Hebrew Old Testament. And that put him highly regarded, even in the eyes of the Protestant reformers, who had such an emphasis on getting back to scripture. And as a result of that, when he would preach, he went on several missions that were requested of him by the Pope. He would enter into debate with the Protestant reformers and win over a lot of Catholics back to the Catholic faith based on his ability to go toe-to-toe with them in the debates on Scripture.
I love it. We're talking with Father Dan as we reflect on some of our Franciscan saints, Saint Lawrence. Give us a sense of his Franciscan spirituality. How can we see that Capuchin, you know, the Capuchin Franciscans that he first encountered, how did they really influence his life?
Well, the Capuchins, of course, were born from the hermitages in Italy. So they have a burning spirit of prayer and contemplation to them that really marks St. Lawrence of Brindisi. That's where he's coming from first and foremost, is a really deep-seated prayer and contemplation of the Word of God and Scripture from spending hours of meditation and contemplation and prayer. So that's the first thing about him that is so obvious when you read his sermons and also study his life. The other thing that is remarkable about him is several occasions he was appointed as a papal emissary. That's someone that has been designated by the Pope to go and sow peace between warring factions within the papal states. So if there was one city fighting another city, for example, he was sent to Naples one time to sow peace in Naples between some of the nobles that were there. Well, peace is another thing that was such a hallmark of Francis's life, being able to help enemies turn to each other again in goodwill. This was another thing that was evident in St. Lawrence's life. He was able to actually help bring about peace when the Pope would send him on these missions.
Wow. Father Dan, when we look at these saints, St. Bonaventure and St. Lawrence, you know, what can be our takeaways as we recognize their feast days, but ways that they can help us today in our daily lives?
You know, when I look at these two saints in particular, the phrase that comes to my mind is Jesus in John's gospel says, without me, you can do nothing. Now, a lot of times when we hear that, we say, well, without me, you can do some things and not others. So go do what you can. And when you run out of resources, then come to me and ask for help. These two understood that without Christ, we can't even sneeze in the direction of salvation. And so a vital living relationship with Christ in prayer was essential to these two saints. And it's so evident in everything they did. And I think that's one thing we can definitely take away from them.
Right, right. And Father Dan, as we look at the lives of the saints in our own lives, just maybe a suggestion you have of how to maybe keep them part of our lives, part of our personal prayer life, our family prayer life, but just really to be more recognizing the saints, but also asking them to be part of our road to heaven.
Well, you know, they do say that the saints choose us. And the way you find out who they are is pay attention. Who are the saints that appeal to you? That may be the indication that you're being invited into a relationship with one of them. And for a reason, sometimes our Lord can send them and say, you know, I want you to get to know that guy down there or that gal over there. And we need to pay attention. Like, who are the saints that appeal to us? Read about them, get a life about them. They have something to teach you, and then you strike up a relationship. I mean, I know you can't see them, but they're there, and you can start to converse with them, and they can start to instruct you as you read their writings or you read about their life. And I think that's one of the things we need to be aware of is they do choose us, and there's reasons for that they choose us, and we need to start to cultivate that relationship with them as a result.
Absolutely. I think St. Francis is one that's been capturing my heart. So I'm very grateful for you helping us to really open up these Franciscan moments. Again, we've been talking with Father Dan. Father Dan, when he's not traveling around, maybe giving a conference here or there, he serves at the St. Andrew Catholic Church in Fort Worth, Texas. So Father, for you and the Franciscans that serve, God bless you in your ministry. And I'm looking forward to the next edition of Franciscan Moments we can have together. Will you help us close this time together, leading us in prayer?
Sure. Let's pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for raising up among us these great saints and examples for us to follow on our way to you. Help us ever heed their voice and heed their lessons. Help us ever allow ourselves to be instructed by so great examples of faith and virtue in our lives. And we ask all of this through Christ our Lord. And may the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Dan. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.